Wonderful, wonderful. Where would you be this morning without the love of God? I'll tell you where we would all be in. We'd all be in hell, deservingly so. But thank God, you are not in hell. Some people think they're living in hell and say this is as bad as it can get. But I promise you, friend, this is not as bad as it can get. Some people say, I'm living through hell, and they use that word loosely. I promise you, there's but one hell, and nothing on this earth can be described anywhere close to that. And so this morning, rather than us being in hell, we are sitting in the sanctuary in the house of God, and that's directly linked to the mercy, grace, and yes, the love of God, who allowed that to happen. He allowed you to wake up this morning. He allowed me to wake up with air in my lungs and my heart still pumping blood through my body. And He did that for you and gave you a place and a people and a sanctuary to come in where we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm telling you, I don't take that for granted. I thank God for this church. I thank God for this church. I mean that. This is my church, not because I'm the pastor, but this is the church I belong to. I'm working on a message, and I'll be preaching it soon, on how the church is the body of Christ. And I am looking forward to preaching that. God has shed new light in those scriptures to me recently, and I believe it'll truly help our church. It's hard when the whole body goes to war with itself. You're talking about sickness when one part of your body starts attacking another part. Boy, things don't go so good. But the way God made the body to work was when one part is sick, the rest of the body comes and aids that part of the body and helps to restore. And that's how the body of Christ should work. Amen. But that's another message for another day. I've been told, I started not to give the name so everybody didn't run after him after church and deal with him. But Brother Cliff Worsley told me, said, Pastor, this morning, you have plenty of time to preach. And I said, do tell. You don't usually hear that. And he said, this rainstorm is supposed to come through and start about the time Sunday school started and be over about the time preaching is over, and named the time. And so he said, you should have plenty of time this morning. He said, because people don't want to walk to their cars in the rain. And so if this is a long sermon this morning, you can blame Brother Cliff. That's what the Bible says, sharing and bearing one another's burdens. Yes, take your Bible this morning, go to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. And I want to read 7 or 8 verses in our reading together. But you can keep your Bible open because we will be dealing with other scripture. By the way, always bring your Bible to church. If you do not have a Bible, King James Bible, which is a real Bible, if you'll see me, I will get you one. And if you do have one, bring it. Because going to church, going to the house of God without a Bible is like going to the table without a fork. You need it. You need it. And this is where we come to eat. This word is our food. And so I hope you will bring your Bible. If you don't have one, somebody can share with you this morning and you look on with them and read together. Let's stand together. We'll stretch your legs and honor God's word together. Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, verse number 36. The Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there. I preach a message on that one verse, and sitting down, they watched him there. Boy, if you can get in verse 36 and sit down and meditate. And sitting down, they watched him there. It's talking about Jesus hanging on the cross and sitting down. They watched him there. That's not the message this morning. And set up over his head, his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they passed by, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will save him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" For the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, how to carry your cross. The Bible says, and we just read the account of where Jesus is on the cross and they're railing accusations at him. You know the account well. But the Bible also says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And so I'm preaching on the subject, how to carry your cross. A few weeks ago I preached, maybe a month or so ago, I preached on the subject out of the book of James on how to draw nigh to God. And if you remember, I said at the beginning and onset of that message that many times we as preachers, especially and in other areas of life, but we're good at telling people what they should do. You should mow the lawn as parents. We'll take. You should wash the dishes or crickets. You better wash that car. And that's what she said. I'm just kidding. Or do this or do that. But then fail to ever show how to do what you've told somebody to do. And so I preach on the subject, we should draw nigh to God. We know we should draw nigh to God, but a lot of people don't know how to draw nigh to God. And some of you remember that message, and we dealt with how you do that. Today, it's obvious. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and follow him." And so I'm preaching on carrying your cross, but not just telling you you should. Jesus already told us that we should, but how to carry your cross. I wonder if anybody's interested, if you know anything and have been living the Christian life long and know anything at all about the Christian life, you have already learned that carrying the cross of Christ is a heavy and hard burden to carry. That's a heavy load, and at times the devil tempts us and tries to get us, talk us into just throwing that thing down because it's just too heavy. It's just too hard to drag and carry that cross, and many quit. You think about Paul, what Paul said about Demas. Demas, having loved this present world, he forsook. He forsook. He threw his cross down. And when many, how many people do you know this morning that one time claimed the name of Christ and claimed to be saved and claimed that they loved the Lord Jesus with all their heart? Maybe went through a baptismal pool. Maybe really got saved. I preached Tanisha's daddy's funeral this past Friday, and I did my best to give the gospel, and three precious souls said that they got saved by the grace of God. I pray they did. I pray they get in the church and grow in the grace of God. But I'm simply saying, we all know people who started who are not still following and carrying their cross. And I don't want you to become one of those statistics who fell by the wayside, who the Word of God calls a castaway. And so, I wonder if anybody's interested in how to carry your cross. Not just carry your cross, but how to. There are four times in the Gospels that admonition was made. Once was to the multitudes when they had gathered by the thousands, and Jesus stood there that day. Jesus said to the masses, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Shortly thereafter, Jesus sat down in a more intimate setting with just his 12 disciples. And in that quiet, solemn setting, sitting by a fire, Jesus said to them, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And I believe in the same chapter, or there, right after, that rich young ruler came to Jesus seeking how to have eternal life. And Christ dealt with that. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus dealt with the issue of that man's heart. And then in this, on that same conversation, Jesus said to that man, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. So surely, God don't waste time. God puts what He wants in the Word of God. And over, at least four times in the Gospels, Jesus Himself said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so if God commands and calls us to do something, God will equip you to do it. And He will give us directions on how to do it. I don't believe any true believer here this morning would disagree or argue with the fact that we as the children of God should carry our cross. Can you imagine how catastrophic it would be if Jesus, we just read the account where He was on the cross. He had already carried His cross and He was still carrying and bearing the cross there on Calvary's Hill. Could you imagine how bad, I can't even imagine, I can't fathom how terrible and tragic it would be had Jesus said, this is just too much, this is just too hard, this is just too heavy, they're just too wicked, they're not worth it, and tossed His cross away and went home to be with God in heaven. I say, what a nightmare, because we would all be lost, doomed and damned. And so I think it's not even an argument that should be had, should we carry our cross. He carried His cross. And if He carried His cross, and He's the one who commanded us to pick up our cross and come after Him and deny ourselves and carry our cross, I think He's well qualified to make that statement. I think He's well qualified to command and demand of somebody that is saved by His grace and purchased with His own blood. I think He qualifies to be able to tell us that and not be asking too much. I know I didn't plan on saying all this, and I know time's ticking away, but I know we're living in a day and an hour where the church and preachers, so-called, I put that in air quotes, preachers have gotten away from preaching the Word of God and preach more about self-help and how you can have a purpose-driven life and building one another up, and that's all they push and promote. And then you got on the other side those who say claim it and name it and claim it blab it and grab it and the Christian life, if you don't have everything, all the finances you need, well, you're just not having enough faith. And if you're not being healed of all your sickness, why, you just don't have enough faith. And I'll say fully on that. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. And this crowd, this liberal crowd who's preaching that the Christian life is just one of a bed of roses, that's not the Bible either. The God of the Bible, He Himself carried a cross, and we should expect nothing less in the Christian life. I will stand up boldly this morning, look you in your God-given eyeballs, and tell you, if you signed up to be a Christian, you signed up for something that is not easy. God said that we are soldiers in an army, in a battle. We are in warfare. This is not going to be easy. And so if you're just looking for something easy, you signed up for the wrong thing. Might as well get that out up front. I know that ain't popular, because most people in today's society want easy. We want some quick fix and something that's smooth and easy. But I'm going to tell you something. Your salvation was not cheap, free, and I promise you it was not easy. A cross had to be carried. A cross had to be carried. And so none of us should argue on whether or not we should. What does it mean to take up the cross? I've done this before and I mean it. I would love to see all of y'all back tonight. It's going to be a busy day. A lot of us are going to the receiving friends and funeral all day. And it's just going to be like a blink and be back time for church tonight. For me, too. But I promise you, I will give you, if I can get, I'll give you 2 points this morning and let you go. If I can get 2 done. If you promise me you'll come back tonight, and let me give you the last one. Deal or no deal? I'm being serious. I'm being serious. You do not want to miss the end of this message. It matters. It absolutely matters. So what does it mean to take up the cross? Maybe we should find out what the cross is. If we're going to carry it, we need to know what it is. Is it a literal cross made of wood like you see in the baptistry? Well, that's a cross, yes. But is that the cross he's referring to? Do you realize in South America, even in today's time, men and women break glass and crumble it and make sharp shards of glass and spread it on steps. And then they strap a physical wooden cross to their back and they get down on their hands and knees and climb up those steps that are laden with glass because they've took the Word of God out of context. And they call that carrying their cross. Catholics do some similar things where they pay penance and crawl up steps and carrying. That's not the cross that Christ spoke of. We live in a culture to where people have tried to make the cross cool and hip. So what do you mean? We have a crowd today that have more crosses on their skin than they do their heart. You say, you're not going to go there. Oh, yes, I am. You better read your Bible before you get mad at me about preaching about tattoos and marking your body and amen. I don't say much about that, but I'm going to tell you something. Just because you get a tattoo of a cross on you, that don't make it good. That don't make it good at all. But people have cross earrings and cross necklaces and trinkets and bracelets and tattoos of crosses. Is those the crosses Jesus is speaking of us bearing? No, not at all. They've tried to make it fashionable in our day's society. Saying it'll, the cross has become home decor, and people have crosses in their houses and all over at churches. You'll see them on steeples, and you'll see them all over. People have them in their homes. Like I said, ladies, if you want to find one, go to Hobby Lobby. They got them 50% off all the time. By the way, let me give you a shopping tip. If they 50% off all the time, that means they're never 50% off. Yeah. Free advice. I won't charge you nothing for that. That's just a marketing tool. So what is a cross? Is it that adorns our steeples and our sanctuaries? No. I could preach an entire series of messages on what the cross is, but I'll try to simplify it down to one sentence, and here it is. The cross that Jesus is speaking of, in these at least 4 times he commissions us to carry our cross, this is it. The cross is the complete and total surrender to the Father, of your will to His. And I'm going to prove that. Not my opinion, but we're going to look at the Word of God, and I'm going to prove to you, it's a must that we verify and clarify what we are to carry, but I'm going to get to how do you carry it. But it's important to know what we're carrying. It's not these things I've mentioned. It is where you bow your will totally, fully, completely to the will of the Father, to the will of God. Where your will goes this way, where your desire goes this way, and God's goes this way, it's where you say, I want this, but I'm willing to deny myself. Ain't that what it said? Deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. That's carrying your cross. That's exactly what Jesus hanging on the cross is doing and showing. Anytime you read about the cross in Calvary, there on Golgotha's Hill, it's Christ showing us how to carry a cross. It's all through there. He's showing us how His will bent to the will of the Father, and therefore He denied Himself and took up His cross and followed Him. And that's what He has called us to do. That is the cross we're speaking of. When Jesus said, take up your cross, He's saying, well, listen to John 5:30. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, just a chapter behind, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, as Thou wilt. Do you see where Jesus was going this way? His heart was this way. His desire was this way. His will was this way. And He said, nevertheless, I will deny myself. I will pick up my cross and I will carry it and I will follow. That's the cross we're speaking of carrying. To carry our cross is to completely surrender to the Father. Just as it was that in the life of Christ, so it is in the life of the believer. Our cross is to obey the Father without reservation, without regard, without hesitation, and to submit and so surrender to the will of God. That ain't being preached much these days. You mean I have to change what I want to do? I don't get to go where I want to go. I don't get to say what I want to say. I don't get to drink what I want to drink. I don't get to smoke what I want to smoke. I don't get to dance with who. Hey, listen, when you got saved, the Bible says you are no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. So no, you shouldn't get everything you want. No, you shouldn't give your flesh everything it craves. No, you shouldn't give your life and your mind everything it wants. Why do you think people stay so depressed? Why do you think people are ruining and wrecking their bodies? Why do you think marriages are crumbling at an all-time high? Why do you think the suicide rate's at an all-time high? I'll tell you why. It's because people do not know how to carry their cross. That's good. Because if we will learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, it fixes everything. Amen. Because His will is always right. Amen. Don't matter how I feel. Don't matter how you feel. It matters what is His will. Amen. And the sooner you learn that, and the sooner I learn that, and the sooner we will learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, the sooner you'll learn how good life can truly be being in the center of God's will. Oh my goodness, this time is moving on. Listen, yeah, you ain't getting but one point this morning, two tonight. Listen. Please listen. How many of you think, look at me. How many do you think that this was easy what Jesus went through? Do you think for a moment that the Son of God being beaten and bloodied and badgered and as they drove the nails into His hands and planted the thorns upon His head and mutilated His back and took the cat of nine tails and scourged Him, you think that was easy? No, friend. You think that's what he wanted? You think that's what his flesh wanted? No, he was a man. He was 100% man. And it hurt him just like it would hurt you and me. But he was willing because he knew the greater good. And you better thank God he was willing. And I'm simply paused and redressed this to say, it ain't always easy to carry a cross. It is going to hurt sometimes to carry a cross. It is going to get heavy. I mean, it was for God. It was heavy for Him. It was hard for Him. So yes, it's going to be hard. But not carrying it, trust me, is harder. Oh, it may feel good for the moment, but back to Jesus, I'm sure to His body, it would have felt better to get off that cross, to throw that cross down. For a momentary feeling, yes. Having the nails pulled out, having the thorns removed, having his back put back together and washing his hands of humanity for a moment, it would have felt better physically. But then the eternal weight would come crashing in of all the destruction, of all the souls of men, of all the of God's eternal plan of the gospel and saving souls would come rushing in. And that momentary rush, that momentary pause of ease is not worth the pain that he endured. And that's why he did endure the cross, suffering the shame, despising the shame. He went on forward, and I'm saying to us, it's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's going to last for a little while. But if we will learn to pick it up anyway, say no to me and go with Him anyway, say, I want this, but I know you want that, so I'm going to go anyway. I know you want me to be here tonight, Lord, but I got the Super Bowl on tonight. Don't you know that? But I want that. I want to watch that. And God says, I want you here. And that shouldn't even be a hard decision if you're saved. I don't preach on that much, but God bless you. If you having a hard time deciding where you're going to be this evening, your spirituality could fit in a thimble. If you think that's a hard decision, you don't know nothing about carrying crosses, and you need to, because it's going to get. Hey, I promise you. Have you seen what's going on in our world? Have you seen what Russia's up to? Have you seen what China's up to? Have you seen how they have yoked together just like the Bible said they would? And Iran.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know nothing about what's coming, I'm telling you, friend, it's about to get way harder than anything any of us have ever went through.
Amen.
And so we better learn now how to carry a cross and deny ourselves. I found this amazing. Do you know in the pages of the Word of God that the actual physical wooden cross that Jesus was crucified on, there's only 11 mentions of that cross. I mean, think about that. Only 11 times in the Word of God is that actual cross referred to out of all the Bible. That amazed me when I read that. And listen, think about the power of the cross. The actual, not the spiritual, I'm not talking about the spiritual crosses or types of the cross, but the actual cross that touched the flesh of our Lord is only mentioned 11 times. It's interesting that the cross that was mentioned so few times, considering it is the instrument that divided the Old Testament and the New. That cross is what split the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. By that cross is what split time itself before Christ and after. Are you hearing me? I'm saying that was a big deal. That was a big day. That cross had such significance. And only 11 times. I thought it'd be more than that. Listen. Only 11 times. So with those thoughts in mind, I want to look at the cross and how it's despised. Did you notice in our text that all the language around the cross was derogatory? Go back to what we read at the beginning. And what the scribes and Pharisees and the elders and even the thieves and those jeering in the crowd, everything that they were saying, that was such a vicious derogatory language. Language of insults and slander, dishonor, evil reports being spoken of Jesus as he hung, bled, and died. As Jesus hung on the cross, there was a constant spew of venom and verbal attacks towards him. Can I say to you this morning that if the devil would attack the cross of Christ, hear me, and try to discourage him as he carried his cross, don't you think he's going to come to you and try to distract and spew venom and discourage you from carrying your cross? If he did it to Jesus, I promise you, he'll do it to you. The devil knows, just like the cross of Christ whooped him, doomed and damned him forever. The second strongest and most powerful thing to him is when a Christian, a little Christ, a person that has Christ in them, when they deny themselves and they pick up their cross and they carry it and start following him, that too defeats him and he hates it, and that's why he tries to derail anybody who would try to do it. And so, the cross of Christ is despised, and so the cross that you carry this morning, that cross of surrender and submission, just as it was defamed and slandered, so the cross we carry will be also. I want to look at three things. We won't look at but one this morning. But three things of how to carry your cross. You made it through the introduction? Good. But it was important to take the time to look at the text. The temptation of the cross, number one. The temptation of the cross. How do you carry your cross? You must realize, if you're going to do it, you're going to be tempted while doing it. Jesus was. If you're going to learn how to carry the cross, you must know that there's going to be a battle over you doing it. And it ain't just some little small fight. It ain't some two no-name people who just, you know, when they have these boxing matches and they'll have, or MMA fights or whatever, they'll have no names. But the top of the ticket people, this fight that's going to be over you carrying your cross is not a no-name. This is a battle between heaven and hell. This is a battle between God and the devil who's fighting over your will. God wants your will this way, and the devil's going to do everything he can to tempt you and lure you away from going God's will and doing it God's way. Because he knows that'll bring glory to God, and that'll be what's best for you and what's worse for him. So temptation at the cross. There are three times in the text we read that temptation is used. Verse 40, you still have your Bible open. Verse 40. Verse 42 and verse 43, we see the language of temptation. Verse 40, I tried to emphasize it while reading it. Verse 40, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 42, if he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross. Verse 43, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. If. Throwing that question of doubt in there, trying his best to sow seeds of doubt in the mind of Christ. If thou be, and immediately, don't you know Jesus' mind went back to Matthew chapter number 4 where he was in the wilderness praying and fasting 40 days. He was there weaker than he had ever been. And it was there that the same devil, the same voice came to him saying, if thou be the Son, and tempting him. And so it is with you when you're at your weakest, and that is a weak, vulnerable moment, when you say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to deny myself. I want to take up my cross and follow you. The devil hears that and he runs for you and he's going to talk to you. And he's going to say, if God loved you, if this, if that. And there it starts, the battle for your will. You need to recognize who's talking to you. God don't sow seeds of doubt in your mind. God's not the author of confusion. No, God's trying to give you clarity. How many believe this King James Bible was put together on purpose And it's exactly what God wanted it to be. It says exactly what God wanted it to say. I do, without question. And the word "it" is in there for a reason. Not by accident. It didn't just fall there, get misplaced there. No, God Himself put those words in there that we would be able to read it. And that is the same word. This is the same word used in Matthew 4 when the devil, when Jesus was there being tempted and Satan came to Him. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if He's really watching over you, if you are who you say you are. And it is the same word that we see as Jesus hangs on the cross. You don't think when Jesus heard that if, that His mind went back? Yes, it did. Where Satan was tempting Him, and now He's on the cross to purchase redemption for all mankind, and there He comes again to tempt Him. Hey, just a word to the wise. When you as close to God, we're praying for revival, we're begging God for revival, we're trying to get closer to God, we're trying to get our spirituality toward God, we're trying to move toward God. Can I tell you some of the most serious, dangerous, vulnerable moments of your life? And I can prove this from the Bible, is when you're at your highest, when you're at your closest to God. So just because you're close this morning and you're fine this morning is no reason to just coast. It ain't. Jesus was at His finest moment, yet there was Satan trying to destroy Him. What is all the temptation about? It is an effort to get Jesus to come down off that cross. If you really are who you say you are, save yourself. If you really are the Son of God, why hadn't He came to deliver you? If you really are God in the flesh, then come down off that cross and prove it. And all that temptation was an effort to get Jesus to come down off the cross. And I just come this morning to tell you, if the devil will tempt Jesus, the devil will tempt you. This is the language of temptation. May I add, He could have come down off that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song said. There wasn't enough Roman soldiers in the world to hold Him there. No, friend, I promise you this morning, if He wanted to come down, He could have very easily. It wasn't the swords and the shields and the spears and shackles that they had Him bound with that held Him there. No, He was there by choice. He was there because He loved you and He loved me, and it was love, not nails, that held Him to the cross. Thank God He loved you, He loved me, and it was for His love, that He held us there, that He was held there. I like what the song said. He could have called 10,000 angels, but with just one upward look of the eye, all of heaven would have come down for Him. With just one weeping cry or whisper to God, the God of heaven would have annihilated with the word of His mouth the whole world and started it over. He didn't have to. He had a choice. But oh, bless His name, He chose to suffer and to endure the cross. But He was tempted to forsake it and lay it down. You better mark it down. The devil will tempt you and tell you it's not worth it, it's too hard. And what difference does it make anyway? I'm done with this illustration. We'll be done. I'm talking about being tempted and how hard it is and how we're to carry our cross. My mama, which I use her quite often for illustrations because she's my mama, and I love her. But my mama, when we were little, me and Billy Jack and Bobby, three little boys, and there she is, a single mama, trying to do it all on her own. Working, going to school, trying to pay the bills, trying to keep her children dressed and in school and fed and trying to do it all, trying to carry her cross and bear her burden. And not only just keep us fed and keep us dressed and keep us in school, but making sure, above all, that we went to the house of God every week. That wasn't an easy thing to do. Don't you know the devil tempted her and said, it'd be a whole lot easier if you didn't have to get these three boys ready. Now, it'd be a whole lot easier if you just give up. I mean, look where you at in life anyway. Is God really treating you all that well? And boy, the temptations were there. But I thank God this morning that my mama didn't give in to the temptation, but she denied herself, took up her cross, and followed Him. And because of that, this morning, it pays to deny yourself. It pays to bear your cross. It pays to carry your cross. Because years later, I'm looking back down the road, and because she didn't quit, because she didn't give in to temptation, this morning she's got three sons who are in church, two are deacons, and one's her pastor preaching to her. But had she quit, had she said, this is too hard, none of that would have happened. I'm saying it's hard to carry your cross. And only God knows how hard it was for her. I won't dare to claim I do, but from the outside looking in, it looked awful hard to this little boy. And she's my hero for it, for not quitting, for not giving in to the temptation, and making sure that her boys, come hell or high water, was going to get to God no matter what.
Amen.
As every step got heavier and every step got harder, it got harder and harder. And she thought, will it ever be over? Will this pain ever be over? Ask her this morning after the service. This too shall pass. She's not having to carry that cross anymore. And I'm going to deal with tonight how Jesus will get under your cross and carry it with you and help you. And that's exactly what He did for her, and that's what He will do for you, and He's done it for me. But we must understand the first point in this message. If you're going to carry your cross, you must know you're going to be tempted. We looked at the temptation of the cross. Tonight, we're going to look at the trust of the cross and then the truth of the cross. I hope you'll come back. I'm going to be done right now, and I'm letting you out early. I know we got places to go, but really. So I'm going to stop it right there. But for the record, everybody look up here at me. For the record, I was nice to you this morning and I quit early. For the record, it ain't even 15 after 12. And I mean, I have studied my guts out. And I have so much in me that I need to get out from this message. And I'm willing to tote it around for you all day long just so you can get out of here a little bit early today. Smile. I'm just messing with you. I mean, that is true. That is true. That is true. It absolutely is true. I got all of it in here, and I need to get it out. That's how preaching works. God fills you up with it, and you go and squeeze it out like a sponge. And so when I don't get to squeeze it all out, I walk around just heavy. But for it, because I love you so much, I'll tote it all day for you. But all you got to do is come back. Just come back. I'm kidding. Let's stand.